Good morning and welcome to each of you. This morning I'd like to focus on Hebrews chapter 9 and a little bit in 9 and 10. So if you want to turn your Bible, open your Bibles to that, you're welcome to it. So I was thinking of this being our summer communion. My thoughts went to Jesus Christ, our high priest. And so I'd like to read that and then read a portion from Jeremiah as well when the writer to the Hebrews quotes from Jeremiah chapter 31 and then make a number of comments. So Hebrews 9, 11 to 15, and then 10, 1 through 25. Hebrews 9, 11. But Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Then chapter 10, verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously, saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, and now I will turn to Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Now finishing up in Hebrews, now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Just like to kind of capture a few phrases that caught my eye as I went through this. The phrase, "How much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience?" In the Old Testament, there was the covering of sin, but I don't believe they experienced the complete clearance of the conscience as we do in the New Testament age. So he's comparing the blood of the Old Testament and the blood of Christ. How much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience? It says that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. He's the one who brought the new covenant. He's the one who fulfilled the law. And through that, we, as we spoke of earlier, can have a clear conscience. We can have our sins not only covered, but as the scriptures say, washed away, and we can experience newness of life. Another phrase, the law can never with these sacrifices make those who approach perfect. So the law had its place to show us our sin, to show us how far we are from God's standard. But it never had the power or the authority or the ability to make us perfect. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. In these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. So in the Old Testament, even though there was a covering of sin, there was the reminder again and again, year after year, yeah, we still are sinful people. And while we have reminders ourselves, it isn't because our sins can't be washed away or cleansed. Another phrase, it is not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sins. This was a shadow. This was a pointing to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. But the blood of the bulls and of the goats can never take away sin. It can cover the sins, but it was pointing forward to a time when Jesus would come and take away sin once for all. Jesus was a fulfillment of those sacrifices. And I think Hebrew writer uses this several times, once for all. It was done once, for all time, for all people. It only needed to be done once, whereas the Old Testament sacrifices needed to happen year after year and on a daily basis as well. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So in Jesus Christ's one offering of sin, he's perfecting us, and he is the means of our sanctification, our justification and our sanctification. We are being perfected through that one offering, which is, again, once for all. It was sufficient. It does not need to happen again. And then I read from Jeremiah 31 about the new covenant. What a beautiful thing. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And we know that the temple, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, went from a physical building to a spiritual building where each of us, every human, can be a temple that God dwells within. And so we are living in the era of the new covenant. God is writing his law in our hearts. And we don't have to go to the temple to meet God. We are the temple. So because of these things, because of what Jesus has done, we can have boldness to enter the holiest. The holiest was the place where only the high priest would go once a year. You and I are invited there every day, any moment, in any day, to come and to dwell and to to worship and to interact with God who was dwelling in the holiest place. We can have boldness, not because of something we've done or because we're good enough, but because Jesus has opened the way for us to go into the holiest. Having a high priest, Jesus Christ is our perfect high priest. He has fulfilled all the things that needed to happen for us so that we can have that communion with God in the holiest, in the most holy place. The writer then to the Hebrew gives us a number of things that we can do. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. So we come boldly to the throne of grace. We come, we draw near, not out of dread and fear, a reverence of God, but we can have boldness, we can have confidence, because Jesus Christ has opened the way. We are coming into the presence of God because of Jesus and his provision. So let's draw near with a true heart. Let's have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Oh, the joy and the privilege it is to have our hearts sprinkled and clear. We can say with confidence, I believe I am clear before God because of what Jesus has done. He tells us to hold fast. So there is a part that we do. We, as last week we were taught, we abide in the vine. It's our job to stay connected to God. So let's hold fast. Let us consider. We're to stir up and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves, but to exhort one another daily. And then he gives us the reason. So much the more as you see the day approaching. The day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the end of time, whatever expression grabs your attention. But the exhortation is to happen because the day is coming. And so we need to stir each other up. And I trust that today, as we partake of the emblems, and remember again the great sacrifice that our high priest, Jesus Christ, has made for us, that we humbly submit to him, we surrender our hearts to his lordship, and we allow him to be Lord of all, because he is truly Lord of all and Lord of our lives. Would you bow for prayer? Kind Heavenly Father, we've looked briefly here at Jesus, our great high priest. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to come to be the sacrifice that is once for all, and that our sins can be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus has done, we can have a clear conscience and we can approach your throne, we can come boldly into your presence and commune with you. And I pray that today that would be a part of our experience, is that we would commune with you, that our hearts would be full of gratitude for what Jesus, our great high priest, has done for us. We worship you, Father, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.